Hello, listeners, and thanks for tuning in to Master English with Tim, the podcast where Tim helps you to master English. I'm Tim. I'm a native speaker English teacher from the United States and have been teaching English since 2005. I'm also a polyglot, world traveler, and author of Words for Numbers, which helps you to learn over 350 words for talking about data so you can make an amazing business presentation or improve your score on IELTS Task 1 academic writing. You can find this great resource at www.patreon.com/words4numbers. You can find a link to that page in the description of this episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on my website, englishwithtim.com/podcast. This week's episode is special for me. That's because we're now on episode 52, which of course means I've been making this podcast for one entire year. I also want to take this opportunity to thank all of my listeners, both new ones who just found out about my podcast and friends and old students who've been listening since episode 1 in April of 2023. So what am I going to talk about in episode 52? Well, in this week's episode, I am going to lay the groundwork for a mini course on English verb tenses that will consist of several audio episodes and worksheets. Before you start learning or reviewing verb tenses, it's a very good idea to learn about the auxiliary verbs in detail. Auxiliary verbs are a key part of every single verb tense, and you have to know when to use them, when not to use them, and what they mean. There are two types of auxiliary verbs, non-modal auxiliary verbs and modal auxiliary verbs. In this week's episode, I'm going to talk in detail about two modal verbs which people often confuse with each other, should and must. There's also a third verb I will talk about today, which is have to. Have to is not a modal verb, but people also confuse it with should and must, so I decided to kill two birds with one stone by including it in this episode. The main reason people confuse should, have to, and must with each other is because they all deal with similar concepts: advice, necessity, and legal or societal obligation. Let's start with advice. When we give advice to someone, we tell them our ideas about what would be good for them or would help them, in our opinion. We use only should to give advice. Four examples. 1. You should worry less about other people's problems. This is a piece of advice. 2. If you've been sleeping badly for more than a month, you really should see a sleep doctor. Again, this is advice from friend to friend. 3. You should go to the new bookstore and cafe that opened downtown. It's exactly the kind of place that you like. 4th and last, if you want to be more productive, you should read Atomic Habits or The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Okay, but what do we do when we want to advise a person on what not to do? Well, in that case, we just use shouldn't or should not. 3 examples. 1. You shouldn't worry so much. It's bad for your health. 2. You shouldn't watch TV so close to bedtime, or it will be hard for you to fall asleep. 3rd and last. We shouldn't spend so much money on going out to restaurants and other stuff we don't need. Okay, now let's move on to the next category of meaning, which is necessity. Necessity happens in situations where a person has only one option or choice to reach a particular goal. There are two reasons that something can be necessary. The first reason for why a person can have only one way to reach a particular goal is because of the laws of nature. Laws of nature include laws of physics, laws of chemistry, laws of biology, and laws of logic. In these cases, you can use either have to or must. The meaning of each verb is very similar, but there are some differences which I will tell you about just a bit later. Let's look at 5 examples of this type with have to. 1. First, a bit of context. So two people are driving to another city in their car. Here's the sentence. We have to stop soon to buy gas. If we don't, we will run out. So, this has to do with the laws of physics and chemistry. You need a certain number of liters of gas to drive a certain number of kilometers. That's just how it is. So, you have to buy gas. 2. People who want to lose weight must use more energy than they eat and drink. So, this has to do, again, with the laws of physics and of biology. 3. People have to eat protein if they want to build muscle. So this is again about biology. Muscles are made out of protein, so we have to eat protein to build muscle. 4. There are only a few more days before the test, and you've not studied since the beginning of the semester. If you want to pass the test, you really have to study a lot. 5th and last. You have to have 2 gigs or more of hard drive space to run this program. So yeah, you have no choice there. If you've got, you know, 1.9 gigs, that's not enough. You have to have 2 gigs. No two ways about it. That's it. So now what happens if you change have to into don't have to? Well, don't have to has a completely different meaning. We use don't have to in order to talk about the absence of a physical necessity. Two longer examples. One, first some context. So, two people are driving to another city in their car. Dialogue. Let's stop the car soon and fill up the gas tank. Response. Really? Fill up the gas tank? We're only going to drive another 10 kilometers. We don't have to fill the tank up completely. We can just buy a couple of liters. Okay, that's all. Let me give an explanation here. The only thing the people in this situation need to reach their goal is to buy a couple of liters of gas. Now, is it possible for them to buy more than 2 liters and instead buy a whole tank of 50 liters? Sure, they can do that. Does buying more gas help them to get to the place they're driving to? No, it doesn't. Does buying more gas hurt them or cause any important problem? Also no. So, they don't have to buy 50 liters of gas. We're not trying to tell them not to do it. We're not telling them that it's a good idea to do it. We're just saying that is not something that you are required to do the thing that you want to do. In this case, arrive at the city you're driving to. Let's move on to another example. This is the second and last one. Some context. Someone is asking an experienced YouTuber about what electronic equipment you need to have a successful channel. So, dialogue. What kind of stuff do I need to make a good channel? Response. Well, of course you need to have good content that people want to see. After that, you just need a good microphone and a good webcam. Actually, you really have to have a good microphone. People will tolerate low image quality, but if you sound bad, they will stop watching immediately. Now, about your camera. You don't have to have a crazy expensive 4K or SLR camera. A simple 1080p is really enough. So again, you don't have to have an expensive camera. So, explanation. So the expert YouTuber here says the minimum you need to succeed is a 1080p webcam. So not a super high-end one. According to what the YouTuber says, will a really nice, expensive 4K or SLR help this person have more success? No, not really. Will buying a webcam that's more expensive than a simple but effective 1080p hurt this person's success? Also no. So we can say that this person doesn't have to buy an expensive camera. It's not necessary. It's not required. You can do it, but it's not required. Okay, so that's have to and don't have to. But what about must? What's the difference between have to and must? Well, there are two important differences. First, must is much more formal. The people who use must are often doctors or teachers or parents explaining something extremely basic and important to a person who is under their authority. Second, must is used much less frequently than have to. When we put those two things together, the result is that must has a much stronger impact than have to. When someone says must, people listen and they take warning. Three examples. One, you must stop smoking today if you want to avoid a heart attack. So this is like a law of biology. The patient here is in such bad health that the only way to avoid a heart attack is to stop smoking immediately. Two, if you want to lose weight, you must burn more calories than you eat. Now, you already heard the sentence before with have to. The difference here is that it's more formal, it sounds like something a doctor would say, and it is also something like a law of biology. Third and last, you are so far behind in your studies, you must start studying today if you want to pass your Spanish test. Again, this is a strong warning and sounds like something a teacher would say. Okay, that's must for physical necessity. What about must not? Well, the same people that use must also use must not, teachers, doctors, parents. It is also still very formal. And it means the opposite of must. This is not the absence of physical necessity. This is telling a person that their only choice is not to do something. You're telling the person what you are about to do or what you want to do or what you might do is a terrible idea. Don't do that. It's just bad. Don't do it. It's not just, you know, a small thing, the person's really warning you. You are very strongly telling a person what not to do. Four examples. One, you must not smoke. If you continue to smoke, you will die. Again, this sounds like something from a doctor. Two, you have just had a major operation. You must not exercise and you must not lift heavy objects. Again, sounds like something a doctor would say. Three, if you have an allergy, to tree nuts. You must not eat coconut products. Again, this is kind of a life and death thing. Fourth and last, you must not touch the hot stove. If you touch it, you will burn yourself. Now, this sounds like a warning from a mom or dad to a small kid. Okay, let's move on to the next category of meaning, which is obligation. Obligation is about things we are required to do by laws or rules in society, ones that are made by our employers or the schools our kids study at or our governments or contracts that we have signed. And we also have the rules of what is moral and not moral, or right and wrong, the way it's normal to treat other people. To talk about this type of obligation, and also the contractual one, the legal one, we use have to and must. Here are some examples with have to. 1. You have to wear a seatbelt in an airplane when taking off and landing. 2. If you want to go to another country, you have to have a passport. No passport, no international travel. 3. You have to have a ticket to get into the concert. No ticket, no concert for you. 4th and last, the things you said to her really hurt her feelings. You have to talk to her and make things right, and you have to do it soon or she won't forgive you. Here the rule or law is not from the government, it's just about normal ways that good people or normal people interact with each other, and when someone makes a serious mistake, they have an obligation to try to fix it. They have to try to fix it, according to what's right and wrong. So, again, with don't have to, the meaning changes to absence of obligation. 2 examples. 1. U.S. citizens don't have to have a visa to go to Canada. In other words, you can go to Canada without a visa, with a visa. No one was going to stop you from getting that visa, and it's not bad or harmful to get that visa, but you can go there without one, so why do all that work to obtain a visa when it's possible to travel without it? You don't have to do that. Again, it's not a terrible thing to do, but why? Not necessary, not required. 2nd and last, you don't have to bring a gift to the party. So, here, it's totally possible to bring a gift to the party. It might even be nice, but no one is requiring it. Not required? Don't have to. Now, moving on to must, it again means the same thing as have to for talking about rules of society, but is much more serious and formal. 3 examples. 1. You must wear a seatbelt. This sounds like maybe it's a sign written in an airplane or you know, in the entrance of a bus. It's more formal. 2. U.S. citizens must have a visa to travel to China. Maybe this is something in a tour book or on a travel website. It's rather formal. 3rd and last, you must wear a suit and tie to enter the restaurant. If you don't, they won't let you in. Okay, and again, must not means an obligation not to do something. And because it still uses must, it's formal and serious, used to give warnings about important things and by authority figures like teachers, doctors, and police. 3 examples. 1. You must not smoke on the airplane. 2. You must not drive without a license. 3. And last, you must not use a calculator on the math exam. Okay, that's almost everything. I do want to point out that there are some cases where you can use 2 or even 3 of the verbs we've talked about today. Here's one case where all 3 are possible. 1. You really should wear a seatbelt. So, this sentence is a piece of advice to someone else, maybe a friend to a friend. The fact that this person uses should does not exclude that there is a rule or law about wearing a seatbelt. It just means that this person is saying that wearing one is a good idea. 2. You really have to wear a seatbelt. Here, the person is talking about an important rule or law. This could be a rule made by the owner of the car, who requires all passengers to wear seatbelts, or it could be a law from the government. 3. You must wear a seatbelt. In this last case, the person talking about either has authority or is giving someone an important warning. Must, again, is the strongest verb that we have. Now, before I finish for today, I do want to tell you that there is a worksheet for this, and that I really encourage you to do that, and to do all the worksheets that will be connected with the next several episodes, because, you know, it's part of this little mini course that I'm making about verbs and verb tenses. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and I'm looking forward to talking to you guys next week.